this love embrace my soul in ages past. Love undeserved, unknown, yet deep and vast. God set his love on me, in spite of me. Salvation's work is his from first to last. Unbounded love, unfailing love, love raised upon a tree. Unending love, prevailing love, my Savior's sovereign love for me. Relentless love pursued my heart, though I would hide. Was unreturned, yet undeterred by pride. Till by a grace unsought, my rebel soul was caught. Redeemed by love that would not be denied. Unbounded love, unfailing love, love raised upon a tree. Unending love, prevailing love, my Savior's sovereign love for me. Relentless love preserves my life from unbelief, sustains me through my sin, no doubt my grief. Since Christ has done it all, the feeble I'll not fall. His wounded hands though me the sinner sheath. Unbounded love, unfailing love, the breath upon a tree. Unending love, prevailing love, my Savior's sovereign love for me.
Turn with me this morning to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I thought about it as I was sitting there. I'm not come this morning to entertain you or to amuse you or to inspire you. I'm simply come to deliver to you a report. That's what I call this message, our report. If you look with me in this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, this is what Isaiah is led by the Spirit of God to call God's gospel, a report. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That word in referencing the gospel is used several times, and it's also referenced in the New Testament. There is not one gospel for the Old Testament and another gospel for the New Testament. It is the same report. It is the report that Jeremiah speaks of in Jeremiah 20. And he speaks of it because of its natural reception, how it's generally received. Received the same in his day as it was and is in our day. He says in verse 7 of chapter 20, O Lord, Thou hast deceived me. And that word there is persuaded. You have persuaded me, and I was persuaded. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. But I'm in derision daily, and everyone mocks me. For since I spake, since I delivered this report, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. That's how it was received. And that's what I became for speaking it. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. If this is the way I'll be treated, if this is the way this message will be received, and this is how men receive the truth, I want to open my mouth again. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay, or I could not stop. I could not help but proclaim it, no matter what. And those are similar to the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. In verse 10, Jeremiah says, For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. We'll fix him. You deliver your report, we'll deal with you in the matter of your dealing with it. We'll overcome you. But the Lord was with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. They that do not receive this report, that rebel against this report delivered from God, they'll wind up being overcome and they'll spend their eternity in everlasting confusion. If you notice here, Isaiah identifies this as a particular report, our report. Much like Paul in the New Testament, our gospel. It is the report of those that are sent forth from God. It is this people, some of which are prophets, some of which are apostles, which means one sent forth. It is those people of God who He says, ye shall be my witnesses. They're not His witnesses if they do not deliver this same report. And I thought about it this week. You could say that these are all reporters. And I remember hearing a long time ago that a true reporter, a good reporter, seeks to answer several questions in his report. Who? What? When? How? Whom? Those were the questions that they said a good reporter must answer. And he must be objective. He cannot inject, as many do, a subjective opinion. Because if they're sent of God, they're what Paul called ambassadors for Christ. They are just to speak the message of the King. They have no authority. They have no right to alter in any way the message of the King or the message of the country that they're sent from. They can't add to it and they cannot take from it. They are to give information concerning what has happened or an event. They are to speak the truth. News. And that's exactly what the gospel is called. It is called in Scripture good news or glad tidings. It is something you are not born knowing. It is something that is not natural to you. It's something that is not gained by earthly study or education. It's a report like Isaiah's here, and it's received naturally in the same fashion. It's most often denied. It's most often rejected. And why is this? Because the natural mind, the natural man receives not the things of God. I want you to listen to 10 verses. Listen to each one as I state them, as they are in the Scriptures. I want you to listen to 10 verses across the New Testament. And after that, see if we can answer these questions. See if we can receive an objective report, a true gospel report. The only way that we'll ever be able to do that, the only way it's possible for sinners who are naturally blind like that, naturally heart deceived like that, is if God enables us not only to report this report, and unless He enables us according to His Word, and He makes these things to be received objectively by a sinner who naturally can't do it on their own. We are naturally resistant to God's report. We'll listen to man's report. We'll listen to the false prophets and preachers and people and receive their reports. But we will not of ourselves, we cannot of ourselves receive the report of God Himself. I remember when I was growing up watching that old program, Dragnet. You remember Dragnet? Some of you might be old enough. But the police inspector or sergeant's name was Joe Friday. And he had a famous saying. He would say, "The facts, just the facts." And that's what, if we preach the gospel, we must preach the facts, just the facts. There are many in our day, many reporters on the natural realm that are said to be giving fake news. But I'm telling you this morning. More than all the news reporters in the world who might be delivering fake news, you can count on this. There are more religious people and preachers in our day who are delivering fake news instead of this report. How do we try them? How do we test them? That's what we're commanded to do in the New Testament. Try the spirits to see if they be of God or not. Well, Isaiah also was used of God to record the test. In Isaiah 8 and verse 20, he said, "To the law and the testimony." This is to the Word of God. To this written Word of God, this objective standard, to this body of truth, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now listen very carefully to these 10 verses. The first one is Matthew 1:21. It says, speaking of Joseph concerning Mary, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. All right, listen to this verse. Matthew 18. And verse 11. "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Matthew 20 and verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. All right? Romans 5, verse 8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. 1 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Hebrews 9. Verse 26. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. 1 John 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose God, the Son of God, was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 4 and verse 9. In this was the love of God toward us, was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then 1 John 5 and verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, to answer these questions by this cross-section of verses that we find in this sampling of the New Testament. First question, who? Who is this report about? This report is about a man by the name of Jesus, called Jesus of Nazareth. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this book, all of this book, whether it be in the Old Testament or New Testament, everything in this book is about Him. It's a true Him book, H-I-M book. And this is about Him. It's not about me, and it's not about you, It's not about some other preacher or prophet or apostle or Christian. It's not about some other God. It's not about a denomination. It's not about a church or an organization or some other person. It's not about any person that does not match this scripture in all points and places, even if his name is Jesus. When I went to preach in Mexico, there were very many men down there that were named J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. But it's not about anybody just named Jesus or any preacher speaking in the name of Jesus. It's about Jesus as He is declared to be and as He is declared to do in this book. It's Christ and Christ alone. The Bible and the Word of God is about the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we have received a report and it tends to emphasize anything else or anybody else, it's not this report sent from God. It's about Christ and Christ alone. That's who it is. We're not talking about anybody else. We're not talking about anybody's personality or anybody's body of work or anybody's theology or anything. We're talking about Christ. Who? All right? The next question. What? What? Well, we learned that He came into this world. He's the pre-existent, eternal Son of God. He came into this world. And He came into this world, first of all, to save His people. He came to save. You see, the name Jesus means Jehovah the Savior. It means the one who saves. It means salvation. He came into this world not to make something possible or to be a good example or a good teacher. He came in this world to save somebody. And it says in these verses that we read, He came to save His people. It says, and it tells us that His people were lost because He came to save the lost. He came to commend or demonstrate the love of God to His people. He came to save them from wrath. He came to reconcile them to God. He came to save these sinners. He came to put away their sin, take away their sin, destroy the works of the devil. He came that we might live through Him. He came to be the propitiation for our sin. He came to give them eternal life. And what you'll find all throughout the New Testament is the same thing in different places by different apostles stating the same thing by Jesus Christ Himself saying the thing that this is what He came to do and did. This is absolutely what this is all about. Then we see this. The third question is when? When did He do this? Well, we know, and I don't think there's very many people that deny this, He did this when He came into this world. He did this while He was in the world. In other words, we've got to stop looking and being pointed to what we're to do. The gospel is about something that has already been done, done for His people, done completely, into the satisfaction of God. Our report concerns something Christ did over 2,000 years ago. And this is something that happened a long time ago. This is something that He finished. He did it before we were born. It had its beginnings before the foundation of the world. But as we look back in time, He did it and He completed it over 2,000 years ago. This is said to be something that He finished. This involves a work that the Father gave to Him to do. This is like a mission that Christ was sent on. This was something that He completed and that He accomplished, not that He tried to do or hoped to do or did if you'll accept it. You can't add anything to what He finished. You can't make Him better. You can't do anything to add to God. This is a completed, finished work. It has to do with that which has been done, and it is not a message for us to do. It is a message for us to believe. These verses and many more speak of His not only doing this work, but His success. What did He do? He saved His people. He put away their sins. He did everything necessary to justify them before God. He did everything that was necessary to reconcile them to God. They are not to look forward to what they can do. They're to look backward to what He has done. That's what faith is about. I told you before hearing a man say that faith is believing that God will do what He said He will do. Well, yes, in a sense that's true. But before we can believe that God will do what He says He'll do, we have to believe that He's done what He says that He's done. That's what He did. And He finished it over 2,000 years ago. All right, that brings us to a where. Where? Well, geographically, He did it, He finished it, He completed it in Jerusalem. But the place where He said that He completed this work is at His cross. That's what He stated in His cross. He did it at a place that was ordained of God, appointed by God, at a time that was appointed by God. He did it all, and just before He laid down His life and gave up the ghost, He cried out, "It is finished, perfected, done." And you won't hear but a handful of preachers in our day talk about anything that Christ has completed and finished and done because they're so interested in getting men to do, to give, to be. But He said at the cross, "It's finished." And I'll tell you what, that brings us to the next question. How? How did He do that? If there is one thing that is clear in all those Old Testament sacrifices again and again offered in Israel, and all that is said about the blood, the death, the cross of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, if there's one thing we know that answers the question of how, it's by the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. not any other way. I've always, well not always, but I've said since the Lord showed me the truth, I've always said that God could have done anything for us that He wanted to do or needed to do, such as create a world, feed us, do it, anything for man that He wanted to do, and never have come into this world, and never have taken on Himself a human body, except one thing. And that is to die as a substitute for our sins. Sin brings forth death. The satisfaction of divine justice in the matter of our sin requires that a perfect sacrifice be offered for sin. A perfect man would die in our place. There's just one. And there's just one way. It's only been one perfect man. He had to be perfect because that's what the sacrifice required. When they examined all those sacrifices offered in the Old Testament that were pointing to Him, that were types of Him, they had to be spotless, the Lamb without spot and without blemish. And this is Christ. The Scripture says that it is Christ that died. How are we justified? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again. In these verses we find this, that He saved His people by giving His life a ransom for them. By His dying for us. He reconciled us to God by the death of His Son. It says, by His suffering, or by the sacrifice of Himself, by the propitiatory sacrifice. That's Christ. And He did it by His death. Life is for His people because of His death for sin. Not any of these other ways that men speak of, but simply by His death. By this sacrifice that's called a propitiatory sacrifice because it turns away the wrath of God in the matter of our sin. And then that last question. For whom? For whom? In those verses that we read, just 10 verses, could have read 20 or 30 or 40. Christ did this. He came and did this for. He came and saved. He came and put away their sins. For these, His people. Sinners. The lost. Those that acted as enemies toward Him. Many, not every person, but many. Us. But before we can take to ourselves the assurance of us, we've got to know what He did, who He is. those who are described in this book, in these verses, other verses. They're called His elect. They're called His sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. The shepherd came to seek and to save the lost sheep. They're called His brethren, His children, His friends, His church. Look over in Matthew chapter 11. You remember what Isaiah said? These go together. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This report has to be reveal to us. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, Christ Himself prayed. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. He's not talking about literal babies there. He's not talking about truly wise, but those that think they're wise and prudent. They know how to save themselves. God has hidden this report from them, but He's revealed them to these who are characterized as helpless babes. Listen. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. You may not rejoice in God's sovereign will, but Christ did. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. God is the revealer of Himself. God is the revealer who reveals by His Spirit, and He reveals by use of His Word. Look over in 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Listen to Paul here. Verse 9. Well, let me start back at verse 7. Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. This report is about the hidden wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, who is Christ. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received these he calls brethren. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see, that's why it's good news. Good news to sinners. Good news to these lost ones. Good news to these who can gain nothing or receive nothing from God in themselves or by themselves, that they might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words of man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This report has to be revealed. I know that from my own experience. I know that from having been raised in Sunday school. I know this from having heard all kinds of preaching. I know this from having made a profession of faith. From having been baptized. From having stood as a preacher and a pastor and preached to people. But I didn't know this truth until God revealed it. Till He opens our eyes. Until He lifts our blindness. He says oftentimes in Scripture, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He has to give the hearing ear. He has to give the understanding. He has to give the faith. He has to give the repentance. These are all freely given of God. Look back at our text in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, this report concerns the substitutionary death of Christ for His people. There is nothing in here that would appeal to our flesh. Christ didn't come to make you happy. Christ didn't come to make you healthy. Christ didn't come to make you wealthy. He didn't come to do anything that appeals to the flesh. He came to save His people from their sins. Amen. Isaiah 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When Christ walked here on this earth, having come into this world, you think that they ran after Jesus because of the way He looked? Or what He offered? As a matter of fact, when he changed the fishes into loaves, they liked that. But when he quit doing that, they went away. When he started talking about spiritual things, they left him. He is despised and rejected of men. No, I love God. No, you love the God of your imagination. You love the God of these false preachers who will make him anything you want. You don't love the God of the Bible. And you certainly don't love this Jesus by nature. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But here's the gospel. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised because of our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we can be healed if we say so. We can be healed if we made a decision to. No. By his stripes we are healed. Peter, by his stripes you are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. On who? Him. Whose iniquity? The sheep. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He shall. Because he was raised again. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Be sure you notice that last phrase. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. If he was stricken, punished for my transgression, there's no way that the just God of heaven will punish me for those same transgressions. If the Lord laid on him or made to meet on his head my iniquity, I have nothing to fear and every reason to rejoice. To those that believe on and trust in and confess themselves by the descriptions he names, he saved them. Faith in Christ alone, apart from anything in them, by them, including faith, their will, their works, so-called good works, they trust him and his report. I was just talking to a brother before the service, and he was telling me a little about how the Lord pointed him to the gospel. Just all of a sudden, God turns the light on. Gives me faith to believe what I couldn't believe before. Gives me understanding to see what I couldn't see before. Repentance is a change of mind and a turning from what I thought before. And such joy. Such everlasting joy and peace, knowing that He made peace by the blood of His cross. Our report. Reference is made to it in John chapter 12. John 12 and verse 38, verse 37. But though He had done so many miracles before them, they believed not on Him. If He came in here this morning and did 10 miraculous things, you still wouldn't believe on Him. That's why it's so stupid to say things like, let others see Jesus in you. They couldn't see Jesus in Jesus. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, and nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw His glory, and spake of Him. The glory of His sovereignty, that He can blind or He can open the eyes. That He can leave in the sickness of sin or He can heal. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 16. He's talking about those sent of God to preach the gospel. They come forth with glad tidings, preaching the gospel of peace. But Paul says in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? You see, our report, as Paul is saying there and elsewhere, our report is the same thing as our gospel. Our gospel. That's the phrase that Paul uses even more. Our gospel. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If our gospel remains hid to this one and that one, they are at this point appearing lost. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Verse 4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. How in the world can you know that, Paul? What gives you any idea that these people, some of them at Thessalonica, that they are God's elect? Next verse. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Oh, it did come into word, but it came into word to a lot in Thessalonica. And everywhere Paul preached, it came to them in word. But it came to these in more than just a word. But also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Our gospel. One more verse and I'll quit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you. By our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our report is our gospel, and it concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has saved His people in Christ by Himself. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Mercy in Christ. Well, I'll give you one more question. Why? Why? And that's so easy to answer in this book. For His glory alone. For His glory. So that we would not boast in it. We were not bragging it. It's without boasting in anything on our part. We make our boast in the God who saved us, the Christ who died for us, the Spirit who called us. And to Him be glory alone. Do we believe the report? You say, well, there's got to be more than that to it. Any more than that is exactly wrong. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord. Actually, the name Benjamin means the son of my right hand. He's a type of Christ. To whom is the arm of the Lord, the strength of the Lord that has gotten Him glory revealed?
I'm thankful that He revealed it to me. Our Father, we pray that You would take Your word, Your truth, Your report that concerns what You did and who You saved and how You did it and why You did it and all these things. We pray You take it and reveal it to one of Your sheep this day. For the glory of Your name, we pray. Amen.